The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to Stone Cold Shows. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. You can find them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975. And you can read their work on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, Astros offense wakes the H up while Astros pitching is setting the tone. But could it get even better? We'll discuss all that and more. Gents, Houston stumbles upon an oasis of offense after wandering through a desert of run production over the past 11 games of the season, or at least the first 11 games of the season. Over the past week, Isak Paredes has led the way with 8 hits, 3 walks, 3 home runs, 5 RBI. Yordan Alvarez has 6 hits, 4 walks, 2 RBI over the same time period. Cam Smith, nice to meet you. 6 hits and a triple homer, 6 RBIs over the past 7 days. Houston scored 21 runs over the Angels series opener and finale with that one run game sandwiched in between. Even more encouraging, they did it at home, a place that was becoming known as the Icebox before Dyke had bought the naming rights. Charlie, you're probably going to tell me to be level-headed and say, hey, it's just the Angels and whatever they get from the Cards, it's just the Cards. But from where I'm sitting, any port in the storm, baby. What are your takeaways from the past week as we gather a larger sample size of what this Houston team is?
Still not large enough to draw any dramatic conclusions. Right, 15 games. We still have not yet completed the first inning of the season. They'll be there at the end of the Cardinals series. But hey, after failing to score more than 3 runs in consecutive games through the first 11 games, they've now done it in 3 out of 4 heading into the St. Louis series. And we're still early enough that a big game or a real good series can dramatically alter the statistics, good or bad. Isak Paredes goes from slow start to, hey, front of the week, guess who has the higher OPS between Paredes and Alex Bregman? It's not the guy making $40 million per year. Paredes with a 3-homer weekend, and if he settles in with that tailor-made Daikin Park swing, the first of those 3 home runs against the Angels would have left exactly 1 big league ballpark, the one he was playing in. So play the course. You'd still like to see Christian Walker jumpstart a little bit, but that catatonia was going to be the defining element of the Astros offense season long. So with one 14-run game, right, they're now still on the underside of the middle of the pack, but they're no longer toward the bottom of the barrel. Yordan Alvarez still has had nothing remotely resembling a hot stretch. We know that is coming. So I think a chance for a little pause for those believing that the Astros were going to look like a 1980s team struggling to score runs every game. You can have a week, 2 weeks where it happens. See the Yankees, right? Torpedo bats aren't all the rage of conversation. Right? You have one game, we hit 9 home runs and whoa, you've reinvented the sport. No, water finds its level over 162 games, and the Astros aren't going to have some unstoppable force of an offense. But as we discussed really from spring training, 1 through 5, I mean, hey, Yiner's over 100, so start from there and work forward.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking last week, dead last in slugging, the Astros second to last in OPS, and then we talked today and look at the big jump. Astros are 23rd now in OPS. I mean, that's a big jump. So now they're kind of in that cluster with the Rangers and Mariners right in the low to mid 20s in OPS. Slugging, Astros still a little bit behind. They're 27th in slugging, but we've seen a lot of that this year. A lot of base hits that hit a lot of balls on the ground. Hopefully, as the season gets going and Walker starts doing his thing, Paredes continues, then we're going to see more doubles, stuff like that. That's what this team needs. So it's good that Jeremy Peña is elevating the ball. Hopefully that adds to more doubles in his repertoire going forward. And kind of my other big takeaway is boy, the Kyle Tucker trade doesn't look so bad on the Astros side after this past weekend. Wes Neske looks like he can be even better than a number five starter for you. I really like what I'm seeing from him. Paredes is doing the thing we hoped he would do, take advantage of the Crawford boxes. And Cam Smith looking like he belongs. Not that long ago, we were like, is he going to be able to stick with the club? It's looking like a slow start, but he looks like he belongs now. So you got to feel pretty darn good about what you got for him and three starters. And you're going to need all those guys, especially with Arrighetti going down. Wes Neske is going to be a key pickup for you. And at the same token, with Cam Smith looking like he belongs and he could be a plus player for you, why is Zach DiZinzo still on this roster? He's just rotting away on the bench. I'm sure he'd like to stay with the big league club, but he needs to go somewhere, get some at-bats. Christian Walker has played every single game this year. So we were thinking that maybe DiZinzo's an insurance policy because Christian Walker was dealing with that oblique injury. Well, he's playing every day. He's not playing well, but he's playing every day. And with Dubon and McCormick and all the other guys in the outfield, I don't really see a spot for DiZinzo. I think maybe he goes down and, you know, keep swinging the bat, because at some point I think you're going to need that guy. And then finally with Christian Walker, we've been on him a lot and it has been really bad. Don't get me wrong, but the good news is he's not swinging as many bad pitches. He's walked twice in four straight games now. So that's telling me he's starting to figure it out. He's not swinging as many pitches in the dirt. I think his bat's going to come around. Those walks in four straight games, I think that's a good sign for him.
After literally not walking one time over the first 11 games. I think the reality for Zach DiZinzo is that if he was a substantial prospect, he'd be at Sugarland getting at bats. I mean, he certainly has more hit tool than Greg Kessinger, but how long would Kessinger be carried on the roster, literally never seeing the field? I mean, went the entire season without an at-bat, or without a hit, rather, because he had only like 15 at-bats while he was active on the roster for months. So if someone rots on the bench, but can play corner infield. I mean, heck, he has pedigree as a shortstop, but corner outfield, but just is hardly ever going to play. I just think DiZinzo is that guy. Chaz McCormick not getting a start against a lefty in Tyler Anderson. I mean, if there's real hope with McCormick, it begins with, for his career until last season, he hammered away against left-handed starting pitching. So if you're not going to give him run against left-handed starting pitching, what's your real belief in what you're hoping to get out of Chaz McCormick going forward? It's just tough overall to get much separation unless you're magnificent or abysmal over a 15, 20 game stretch. So the Astros at 7-8, right? Yeah, okay, they're just the Angels. But hey, the first place Angels at the time you took them on. The Astros at 7-8, meh. Well, they're exactly two games behind the best record in the American League through 15 games. So yeah, they stumbled from the chute. The offense the first 2 weeks was but nothing anywhere close to, oh boy, they can't recover from this. I mean, 7-8. Last season they started 7-19. So if we go by that curve, they're well ahead of it.
I hate to keep invoking Abreu in the comparison, but them playing Walker through this slump does remind me of how they allowed Jose to play through his slump as well. It turned out to not be a slump. It turned out just to be who he was as a player. But it's obvious that the difference is that they value his defense because it is excellent. Walker's defense is excellent. On the defensive side of things, Brown and Espada rolled the dice, sending out Altuve and Smith to play positions in the outfield they had not played in their careers prior. There have been some growing pains that we've talked about, but that topic, specifically Altuve and left, has seemingly started to lose its steam. Is the quieting of that noise proof that hiding Altuve's declining defense in left was the right thing, or is this just quiet before the next storm of criticism, Charlie?
Well, I give credit for the proactive notion that wasn't notion. It was fact that Altuve's second base defense has deteriorated to where he graded down just about dead worst in the league. The truth is, in left field, you don't get all that much action. Will there be certain plays that can be costly and extra base? I mean, we've seen already repeatedly, the arm is pop gun. Teams are going to take liberties with him. But it's not like it's going to happen 6-7 times per game. You hope it just doesn't happen when it's 3-3 in the eighth inning, where a guy scores from second on a relatively short single to the left that you're thinking, oh man, no way should he be able to score on that. But he's not going to be some sort of catastrophe out there. And Cam Smith, I mean, the guy is just a fluid athlete. You see the way he runs the bases. You see the way he throws the ball. I mean, if the hit tool comes along and he, too, gets into more elevation of the ball, which was a question about him at Florida State. You know, he just oozes natural talent. The stew just needs to simmer. We'll be talking about him as a Gold Glove candidate this season? No. But in years ahead, I'm not going to take it off the table. To me, Cam Smith, of course, they're going to be growing pains. Whoa, these breaking balls are tougher than they were in AA or the ACC. But as Josh alluded to, he does not look a fish out of water, hopelessly overmatched. And for his long-term growth and for the Astros, that's a very exciting thing.
It is. And, I mean, he's better than Pena in some of his metrics. I know Pena's not off to the best start, but point being, Pena's a big league ball player. And Cam Smith, he looks like he belongs. Young guy, he's got a lot of talent. And I think with Altuve, I'm not worried about him tracking down the ball as much as I thought I might have been before the season started. He looks pretty good in that area. It's just kind of the arm where I have my biggest concerns with Altuve. And we haven't noticed a ton of guys taking that second base on him, trying to stretch singles into doubles. Maybe that's coming for us. But, man, these guys are so bad at keeping base runners in check. And I think they've thrown out one guy this year, the Astros, all season long. So I kind of made a joke before the season started about how guys steal on the Astros so much anyway. If they turn singles into doubles, it won't be that big a deal because most of them, if they have any kind of movement at all, will be able to take second base. That's not really a joke. That's kind of proven to be the truth. It's not just on the catchers. They can improve too, but there doesn't really seem to be any kind of focusing in on holding runners and throwing over there and stepping off and messing with timing. That's something I think that has to improve at some point this season because you know how it works. A guy gets a little bloop and then he steals second base and then a base hit and you're down a run. And in a playoff series, that can be a really big deal.
Not just the arm for Altuve, but specifically his biggest growing pain to this point seems to be transferring the ball from the larger glove. So as he gets better at that, we'll see a quieting down of this, but we probably
more base running blunders already this season.
but we expect that. That's part of what the package is, the known package for Jose Altuve. Just a quick message that if you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in our description. Pitching. Josh hit on this a little bit, but the Astros opened the Angels series with a bounce back from Ronald Blanco. Ryan Gusto looks to be playing the role of unlikely call-up hero, a la Spencer Arrighetti and JP France before him. And how about Hayden Wesneski? Josh, you touched on this. Too early to say, but Dana Brown does seem to have made the best of a challenging situation with that Tucker trade. Wesneski goes through that Astros car wash, as Josh calls it, and through his first three starts, carries a 4 ERA on the dot during a time in which this team desperately needs solid pitching, given the offensive struggles that they've had, and with Spencer going down for at least a month and a half with the broken thumb, Garcia setback, and then the ramp-up period that's needed for McCullers. On paper, though, this team's strength was always its starting pitching. And to this point, their team ERA for the entire staff is 3.69. And as of this recording, Houston is tied for fifth in the AL in opponent runs per game and tied 10th overall at 3.87. They lead the league in strikeouts per nine at 10.93. Charlie, how does this pitching staff project out over the long haul from what you've seen so far? And specifically, do you see Wesneski's success as sustainable? And do you see this pitching staff actually getting better possibly once McCullers gets fully ramped up and added?
I think the starting pitching is in a very good place. And that's with the loss of Arrighetti till late May at the earliest. It would be wrong to assert that they're flat out the best, other than from an Astros homer standpoint. And as a fan, if you want to argue for your guys, okay. But name a tandem. Obviously, there's no such thing as a best of two series. But if you were playing a two-game series where you had to win both games to, say, stay in the race the last week of the season, name a tandem of starting pitchers you'd flat out say, oh, yeah, I want them over Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown. Framber's 2 out of 3 going into his start Monday, outstanding. Hunter Brown, 3 out of 3. Excellent going into his start Tuesday in St. Louis. So how it falls in place behind that, Blanco rounds into form. Wesneski, very interesting case. The ERA is at 4 through 3 starts. I think the Astros would take that. If they were going to get 25 starts out of your number 5 starter with an ERA of 4, look at staffs around baseball with guys who wind up with earned run averages over 5, getting 20-plus starts. And Wesneski, against the Angels, his career in a nutshell. Hey, he has some impressive stuff, and wow, he could blow some guys away. 10 strikeouts. Gives up 3 home runs. But if your offense is pretty good, solo homers aren't the worst thing in the world. You walk a guy and it's a 2-run homer, or a walk and a scratch hit, or a walk and a hit batter. But Wesneski giving up 3 solo homers, right? Home runs have ravaged him, right? 35 and 190 innings the last 2 years allowed with the Cubs. So he hasn't solved the gopher ball thing, but for a number 5 starter, good stuff. And let's remember dirt cheap as the Astros navigate payroll and competitive balance tax lines. Lance McCullers, by far the most impressive of his 3 build-up outings over the weekend. And as the Astros approach their first stretch of about a couple of weeks without a day off, I think McCullers is going to probably make his season debut. First real game action since the 2022 World Series about the end of the month. And how it goes from there, you just cross your fingers. But that would be one substantial milestone way above and beyond getting in his first spring training game.
Back to Wesneski, just watching him go pitch for pitch with Logan Gilbert, I mean, that your number 5 starter is going to do that for you? That's pretty darn good. And all the strikeouts, and yeah, he gave up a lot of homers on 4-seam fastballs last year. I notice on the broadcast, I'm seeing some sinkers being mixed in there too. The sweeper, of course, is one of his great pitches, but he's really mixing it up. You're seeing him, you know, mix in some curveballs, which he hadn't really done in the past. So I think his sequencing's just better now. And if you're a hitter, if you can't just hunt the 4-seam fastball, if you have to account for the sinker every now and then, makes you a more dangerous pitcher. So I love what I'm seeing from him. I'm hearing McCullers might be back for the Royals series is what Charlie was talking about there. That would be awesome to get him back. Holy crap. And this staff is already amazing. Brandon brought up some of the numbers, but the 13th in ERA doesn't blow you away, but first in strikeouts, third in opponent's batting average, which is 190. It's kind of what we thought. The pitching was going to carry this team, but it's nice to see that what we thought was the plan is what's playing out on the field. And I think the bullpen's a big part of it too. I know Taylor Scott's been disappointing so far, but it's what the Astros do. Oh, now Taylor Scott can't be your seventh inning guy, at least not right now. Oh, just put Brian King in there. He's been awesome this year. Abreu is the only guy where you're kind of like, he hadn't been great out of the start here, but he's got the pedigree. We know what that guy can do when he's right. And to have Hader, he's been really impressive this year. I think one of the big things that I've noticed from Hader is just mixing in that slider more. He got way too predictable with that fastball last season. And now you're seeing sometimes, well, he'll throw 3-4 sliders in a row, which is, if you're a guy that only really has 2 pitches, you're going to have to shake things up like that. You know, throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball over and over again, that's not going to get big league hitters out consistently. And he's made the adjustment. So credit to him. I actually feel really good when Hader comes in the game in the 9th inning.
Just to put a period on the Wesneski sentence, it's about body of work. But over his last 2 starts, 15 strikeouts, walking nobody. There are a bunch of really good starting pitchers. I mean, guys will show up on Cy Young Award ballots who over consecutive starts don't whiff 15 guys without walking anybody.
I mentioned Ryan Gusto. I want to circle back to him. Where do you see him fitting into this staff long term? Because we know he's a starter. He's been worked into relief at times. We've seen him start now. They're going to have stretches where they're going to need to carry a 6-man rotation. I assume we're going to see him in that role. But where do you see him fitting in the big picture? Because guy's got a lot of pitches. He's got the repertoire of a starter, but the need for this team may be in relief.
Yeah, I think he's a bullpen depth guy, ultimately emergency start. I think as a starting pitcher, he's actually behind Colton Gordon and AJ Blueball. And as a result, they wanted Blueball and Gordon taking their regular turns in the minor leagues, whereas Gusto would be, well, in a pinch where we would need somebody. Gusto's 26 years old already. Not that Blueball and Gordon are 19-year-old phenoms. But look, if he winds up a regular in the Astros rotation, he's either a revelation or a lot of things have gone wrong. But you need those fungible pieces and guys who jump in, right? J.P. France, a couple of years ago, out of nowhere, gave the Astros fabulous work for a couple of months. But they don't think of Gusto as a building block. But take the gravy when it's offered.
Yeah, he's just a nice depth piece. Use him when you need him. He's kind of an in case of emergency, break glass kind of guy. And you needed him, and he came through for you over the weekend. He gave you what you needed to keep you in the ballgame. That's really all you can kind of ask from a guy like that. It'll be interesting to see with McCullers when he finally does come back, or is it going to be every fifth day that he's pitching, or are they going to kind of ease him in a little bit? Is he going to pitch once a week? I don't know. And with Arrigetti, we don't know exactly when he's going to be back and when he's right. So it's nice to have Gusto if you need him. He's there. But hopefully you get to a point where you have some hard decisions to make in your top five rotation. What if McCullers is lights out and Arrigetti comes back and deals like he's capable of? All awesome problems if you're the Astros. This is the thing. We weren't really worried about the pitching this year. We were worried about the hitting, and that's starting to come around. And also, if we look at the big picture, we don't expect Fromber to be here next year. So you got to expect a lot of these guys to step up next season, because that's a big loss, losing Fromber to your rotation. But if Hunter Brown continues doing what he does, he slots up into your number one, and everybody kind of raises up one spot. Like we already talked about, Wes Neske already looks better than a fifth starter. What if he elevates to a solid three or four? That would be incredible.
Absolutely. One last reminder, if you listen on podcasts, on apps like Apple or Spotify, consider giving us a 5-star rating. Gents, any final thoughts before we're out the door here?
Just from the minor leagues, as we talked about, McCullers having a huge positive outing over the weekend. Hey, a Jacob Melton sighting back from his back issues, 2-for-10, but he hit a couple of home runs. Now, with Cam Smith making his case to stick, and he's not going to be a platoon guy, that would only leave center field as an option for Jacob Melton. And while Jake Myers isn't tearing it up, he hadn't been an abomination at the plate. And defensively, he just has been sterling already, a handful of highlight plays. But if Jacob Melton settles in and hits, he is a left-handed hitting outfield option for a team that certainly still could use one. And let me chase that with numerically. It's 15 games. So don't go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, good or bad. Jose Altuve does not have a double yet this season. Yordan Alvarez, one home run in 15 games. I suspect both will improve on those paces.
My big takeaway is just looking at the division. We kind of talked about this before we started, Brandon. They're the only team in the division with a positive run differential. So I think as the season goes along and we get a bigger sample size, I think that the Astros, if they can stay relatively healthy, I think they'll prove that they're once again the class of this division.
All right, guys. Next scheduled episode drops Thursday. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel. We drop bonus episodes as news breaks, so make sure you got your notifications on so you know as soon as new content drops. Thanks for listening. So long. Till next time. Go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Hunter ceiling fans. They provide consistent comfort all year round and also help reduce energy costs. Right now, save big on Hunter ceiling fans when you shop at Menards. View our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans today on Menards.com. Plus, our weekly flyer with plenty more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.